The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Enjoy ultra-fast speeds up to 10 times faster than Sky's standard broadband.
Hello everyone again, it's Oliver Callan here doing the thing while Ryan is away. This is Thursday, it is the 29th of July now, but the sky thinks it's April. Well, it did yesterday anyway. We have stories and chats as always, and we have you. The text is 51551 to get involved with the crack, or Ryan at rte.ie. Well, sports heroes abound in the newspapers and across Tinternet this morning because, well, I wonder, did it get any sleep in Skibbereen at all last night? Emily Hegarty in all the papers today, winning bronze as part of the women's fours. I'm mentioning her obviously specifically because she's Skibbereen. And within 24 hours, the town had two more gold medals coming home via Fintan McCarthy, which is the most Cork name ever, isn't it? Maybe Finbar. If he was a Finbar, he might be even extra Cork. He'd be platinum Cork, but he's gold Cork anyway. And Paula Donovan, of course, to add to the silver he won in Rio with his brother Gary. They pulled like dogs, and they did the job. So, not that I've ever seen a dog rowing, but well, they're probably training Jack Russells to do it in West Cork this morning anyway. So we've three rowing Olympic medal wins now. Today, yeah, they join a very small group of gold medal winners for Ireland at the Olympics. Ronnie Delaney, 1956, Michael Carruth, Michelle Smith, Katie Taylor, now McCarthy and O'Donovan. So it's a huge day, and it really gives you a lift, doesn't it? It gives you a big lift to think. And RTÉ's Gail Conway, very early this morning, she was with the McCarthy family in Skibb in the early hours. They were all watching the big win there, and it was kind of interesting because his sister, this Fintan McCarthy's sister, said that he wasn't actually sporty as a child, so he came a bit late to rowing, and it didn't matter. So if you have youngsters who kind of are hemming and hawing and maybe watching sport, but they haven't got into it, it's never too late. But what I thought was really fascinating was Fintan has a twin brother, Jake McCarthy, who's also a rower. And he was telling Gail Conway about, you know, Fintan, he was sitting there watching the last Olympics and the O'Donovan brothers winning silver. And I thought it was an interesting, let's have a little listen to what he was saying to Gail.
I remember us kind of watching the Rio Olympics, you know, 4 years ago and talking about it. And I think ever since then, you know, something, I don't know, was it like a seed of belief or something was kind of planted in his head. And kind of ever since then, I guess just been, you know, daily kind of working on it day in, day out to get there. Can't really believe it, to be honest. Yeah, it's speechless, really. Overjoyed and like emotional. Can't wait to get him home now, you know, and can't wait to see him. Watching that, it was almost like something flicked inside me, you know, just this desire and something I've never even experienced. Like, it's just, you want to be there and you want to be experiencing, you know, and hopefully now, once I get the injury right, I can hopefully go and give my best shot at doing that.
Yeah, so he's injured there. But I think it's amazing just to see that they're sitting, and there are someone sitting at home this morning watching it, and they have their sights on the next Olympics, which are in Paris in only 3 years' time. And Fintan McCarthy's only 24 and Paul is only 27. So they have another Olympics certainly in them at least. And it's just been very good. It's been very successful Olympics already, and it's far from over. Big hopes on Kelly Harrington in boxing. She's in action at 3 a.m. tonight or tomorrow morning, whichever you prefer. And that's a round of 16 fight against the Italian Nicolai. So set your clocks for that one. So big day for Cork. Also down in Kerry, a slightly different competition, the Emmy Awards. But, you know, it's, you know, when you're winning, you're very hopeful and you like to talk it up. This is our own Donie O'Sullivan. OK, well, he's with CNN, but the Ryan Tuberty Show, we like to claim Donie O'Sullivan in this show as our own. So the Examiner tells us anyway that Donie's been nominated for an Emmy Award, having shone a light on the range and depth of conspiracy theories that have gripped sections of American society in recent years. So he's down enjoying his holidays back home in Killarney in the Kingdom. So congratulations to Donie and the best of luck in the TV and the news Emmys there. So good news there. Good news for the rest of the country. You might have been listening to our chat with Bradley Garrett, who's written a book about bunker building and all these preppers, where people are preparing for catastrophes. Well, The Guardian tells us that we we are rated among the best places in the world to survive the collapse of society. So cheerful story after a gold medal. You know, just think about the perilous state of the industrial civilization world. So New Zealand, Iceland, the UK, Tasmania and Ireland are the best places best suited to survive a global collapse of society, according to this study. The collapse could arise from a shock, such as another severe or an extra severe financial crisis, impacts of climate change, destruction of nature and a worse pandemic than COVID-19. And why do they say New Zealand is top of the list? Well, they have the greatest potential to survive due to its geothermal and hydroelectric energy, abundant agricultural land, we have that, and low human population density. We have that in most of the country. And it doesn't say exactly why we make the list, but I presume it's the fact that we've, you know, endured and survived all those miserable Irish childhoods in the last century and the books about them and The Sideways Rain and Michael Flatley's shiny shirt, The Leaving Cert and show bands. Yes, so we can do the apocalypse, no problem. If we can survive that era. Something that isn't going to survive for any much longer is The X Factor. And the Irish Sun tells us The X Factor is over. It's gone after 17 years. And they say thanks, with an X, for the memories. And Simon Cowell has pulled the plug on the music star maker. Well, star maker, maybe not so much musicians, because they were all put together. But there were some very good singers put together, and they're listed here. You have One Direction, of course, global fame for them. Leona Lewis, Alexandra Burke, Little Mix, Ollie Murs, James Arthur, Stacey Solomon, who you heard in this show only recently. And they have a picture there. The first show, 2004. And it's got Simon, Sharon and Louis Walsh is there as well. He's going to be so sad to hear about it. But I don't care. X Factor, it did its business. It was a really good show. It was a great show. Last show, 2018. I did my God, it was really great. I made late stars. Loads of stars. There were loads of great stars. Also, Jedward. What? Well, I didn't say anything wrong. So that's all over from the X Factors. But apparently, actually, The Sun tells us that it's still a global phenomenon, because they're still making it in countries all over the world, because there's X Factor versions, particularly in Italy. Apparently, they're mad into their X Factor, and they're just generally mad as well. Other good news and winners, the Dublin Cinema, the Stella Cinema, it's in Rathmines in Dublin, has been named the best cinema in Ireland and the UK as per the renowned publication Time Out. So they describe it as a swish Art Deco details, outlandishly comfy seating and beds, a destination cocktail bar, and the ever-friendly staff make it the seriously seductive Dublin Cinema number one pick. And they have the top 10 there, and they, like, it's the Irish one is the only one in the top 10, because Glasgow is second, there's a place in London, but there's a top 50, and that includes Dublin's IFI, Irish Film Institute, that is, the Lighthouse Cinema, which is Smithfield in Dublin, and the Phoenix Cinema in Dingle is also featured, as well as Queen's Film Theatre in Belfast. So they'd be very glad. Personally, I always think, you know, some of the extra swanky cinemas are a little bit too swanky. You know, you kind of like to have just enough comfort, but you don't want to have a meal. And the cinema is something you do to avoid alcohol, but if not, with the Stella Cinema, it's a little different, because you're kind of going for a whole experience. On the subject of cinema, by the way, the Ghostbusters sequel movie, Afterlife, which was delayed by COVID, they put their trailer out, and it's full of nostalgia, which we like. So it follows the events directly of 1989's Ghostbusters 2, except 30 years later. And you have lots of cameos and a return of the original cast, because you've got Bill Murray, you've got Ernie Hudson, Sigourney Weaver, and Dan Aykroyd is in there as well. So that's a big one coming out in the autumn. What I'm really looking forward to is the Many Saints of Newark, which is the Sopranos prequel film. But I won't go on about Sopranos. I'll be here all day, which is. And if you're a big Die Hard fan, there was a Die Hard 6. Don't even remember number 5. Oh, yeah, I think that was the thing. Doesn't Bruce Willis ride a kind of a war plane at some stage? Yeah, so Die Hard 6 is not going to happen after all. It's about the first time I've heard of a very long and too many sequels going on. What's happening on the text here? 51551. UK multi-gold medalist rower Matthew Pinsett said on the BBC this morning that the boys, that's the Irish boys, are a credit to rowing. Speaking for myself, the boys are a credit to Ireland too, says John Lytham in the UK. He's texting us in there. We also need to remember Sansita Pushpura, who I heard someone describe her this morning as kind of the pioneer of rowing at the Olympics first, because she was there on her own in 2012 at the London Olympics. Hard to believe we didn't have rowers, given how dominant we've become now. And she was red hot favourite this year, but sadly it just didn't happen for her this morning, and she's 39 now. So you do wonder if the thing hadn't delayed it by a year, what might have been? Now two matters, very important. You like sausages? Yes. You like Kinder Bueno? Yes. Do you want them together? Well, you can get them because up in Monaghan, we're famous for many things, Stony Grey soil, poets, football and all that. But now famous for the Kinder Bueno flavoured sausage. So we'll be having a chat about that, I think, this morning. We'll be having a chat about that. So let us know. The important thing here is the ingredient, the pork that's in it, is Cork pork. So I might be talking to the Larmers who are producing that. So you have Cork sausage meat. You have Kinder Bueno, where God knows that's made. But you more importantly have Monaghan Butchers putting it all together. So very exciting. Very excited for that. 51551 is the text. Is the text to get in touch, by the way. We should never forget Malins as well, also another Monaghan, very big in sausages up in Monaghan, because they do very nice turkey sausages, because we are the turkey capital of the country, the poultry capital, along with mushrooms. Okay, I'll stop going on about Monaghan now. By the way, we got some nice emails during the week. Ryan@rte.ie. I was talking about the weather at one stage and jokingly referred to it as the Middle West and the Midwest. But this is an interesting one because they were wondering where does the term Midwest come from? Because we always talk about Midwest and we don't mention Mideast because of certain connotations and so on. And in America, the term is used never the Midwest. Why? Because the Europeans landed on the East Coast and they headed west. So when they reached Kansas, they were, you know, they could have called it Mideast because there is much Mideast and Midwest, but their direction of travel was westbound, so they called it Midwest. So we use it, and every time we use it, we're linking ourselves to a colonial past. As the wagon trains never reached Athlone, maybe we just called it the Midlands. Of course, we got that from Dermot O'Rourke, who is one of the Mill O'Rourkes from Mideast Inniskeen, as he describes it, which is in County Monaghan. So even though I said I'd stop talking about Monaghan, I did again. And this was a good one because we were mentioning when Tokyo was kicking off about interesting things in Tokyo and in Japan and the fact that there were only five chicken nuggets in the McNuggets meal in Japan because six is an unlucky number. Why they didn't go for seven? They decided to go for five. Anyway, and it came in that the M at McDonald's is a different colour because the red in McDonald's is too close to the red in their rising sun flag. So McDonald's are forced to change it, and they did. And so my partner, Morgan, I think it is, or Morgan, had a great laugh. In 2010, this is from Stephen in Kilmacud. He says, in 2010, I was diagnosed with liver cancer and had a successful transplant in May 2011. So I'd be very grateful if you would thank Professor Aidan McCormick and his wonderful team down the road for saving his life. So that's from Stephen and Wittigan. I'm pronouncing it probably arseways, unfortunately. He's from Kilmacud. And we're delighted to hear from you, Stephen, because you gave us that amazing piece of trivia about the red and the McDonald's. And happy 10th anniversary to your new liver and long life and health and happiness to you. So also long life and happiness to Bob Odenkirk. He's the star of Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. He was the shifty lawyer in that. And he was all over the news yesterday because he had what's now described as a heart-related incident. He collapsed on the set of the new season of Better Call Saul, and his co-stars from Breaking Bad are tweeting and we're kind of going, oh, they're saying thoughts and prayers and all that sort of stuff. And we were worried he's okay. They say he's in a stable condition now. His management says he experienced a heart-related incident. And his son, Nate, who's also an actor, tweeted that he's going to be okay. That's all he said. About 400,000 likes on that. If you're a big Netflix fan or followers of various shows, then Selling Sunset was a huge hit, particularly last summer, although that was the third season. Basically, it's about high-end estate agents in a thing called the Oppenheim Group. And it follows the likes and lives and personal and professional lives and careers of the selling agents in what is a cutthroat world of Beverly Hills and LA mansions and villas on sale. But anyway, if you're a huge fan, the boss, Jason Oppenheim, it means something to you. And Chrishell Strauss, am I saying it right? I'm being as enthusiastic as I can about Selling Sunset. They have shocked fans because they are now a couple. What? Yes, they've shared loved up snaps on an Italy trip ahead of the fourth season. Is this part of the publicity campaign, SAU? Anyway, there were huge gasps on the Ryan Doherty team this morning. I thought something really, really shocking had happened. I won't even tell you what I was speculating on. But no, it was Selling Sunset. And that very important coupling. I knew this would happen as soon as I mentioned gold medals. And I started at Ronnie Delaney because it's 56. I didn't think we could go back. And the fact that he's still alive and with us. A little reminder, Dr. Pat O'Callaghan from Kanturk won the first ever gold medal in the Free State, as it was known at the time, at the Olympics hammer throwing. It was 1928 in Amsterdam, says Brigidin Canturk. I wonder, is there a Cork connection to that? And there is another gold medal there as well, isn't there? I think in athletics around the same time. But we only have 10 gold medals in total now. Only 10. So they are a very elite group, the lads. And we're not over yet. You never know, there could be more. Back to the bunkers as well. During the 1960s, the Swiss government planned to set up a government in exile in West Kerry if nuclear war destroyed Europe. The westerly winds made Kerry safe from nuclear fallout. This is true, says this texter. No kidding. That's from Pete in Cork. Well, we're going to have to independently analyse that, I'm sure, to just to make sure. I mean, maybe Kerry, I always think maybe that's why the monks went to the Skelligs. You know, that's the last place on earth that the apocalypse or the end of days or the opening of the seventh circle of hell would reach. And also, you know, nothing to do other than down seagulls. And are there puffins down there, aren't there? Are there puffins? Yep. Please mention the Regal Cinema, Wine Bar and Cafe in Yarl, a beautiful bijou cinema. Because it's Cork, I know that's East Cork. When you talk, my mum's from East Cork, and they never say the Cork because West Cork to them is like basically a different county. So, yeah, East Cork. The Regal Cinema, Wine Bar and Cafe sounds lovely. Yeah, I saw it. It's one of the posh cinemas. Also, very nice, swanky cinema down in Wexford, if I'm not mistaken. A very good thing for a birthday thing. Speaking of birthdays, Stormzy celebrated his birthday. I'm kind of jealous of this one. What did he do? He spared no expense by he booked out entirely Thorpe Park, which is an amazing roller coaster park and in Surrey in England. And he brought a handful of his friends and they had the whole thing to themselves, which might sound a bit selfish. But anyway, he paid the park and everything. It was his birthday, according to the Irish Sun. And what else did he do? Oh, yes. Their food, though, was very kind of Richie Rich, you know, a kid who makes millions, if I had to mention a very 90s Macaulay Culkin reference. McDonald's and Wing Shack was the food for the day. So, you know, swanky in one way, but, you know, down to basics. But then, of course, they had both of them to themselves. And it's also Happy National Lipstick Day to all the women and all the men who wear lipstick as well. The evoke.ie tells us lipstick was a symbol of the suffragettes, raised the spirits of women after the Wall Street crash and the Great Depression. Lipstick sales surged so high after the traumatic world events that it's called the lipstick effect, even as people look for signs of better days ahead. What a theme and a message that is for us right now in these days. Speaking of vaccines and all that sort of thing, Google says it's not going to open its offices until all 140,000 employees are fully vaccinated before they return to the office. That's good news there. But in America, they're struggling to actually vaccinate. There's a lot of vaccine hesitancy because of the misinformation the likes of Donny O'Sullivan has been highlighting. So New York is now going to pay people $100 when they get their first dose of a COVID vaccine at the city-run vaccine centre. So obviously people who've got it and got it earlier are saying, what? I did the good thing. I did it early. You're not giving me £100. And de Blasio, the mayor, says, well, congratulations, you got vaccinated. So you were protected from COVID. It was free. It was the right thing to do. And the reward is you were kept safe and you're alive because of it. But unfortunately, we've got all these idiots who won't get the vaccine. So we have to give them £100. And he's saying it's in everyone's interest to vaccinate these hesitant people. And there's loads of ones who had gone in for the misinformation and they believed it was all nonsense, and then they're in an ICU and they're begging people, they wish they could turn back the clock. What else has happened in the world of entertainment? Well, Dusty Hill, who is the long serving bass player in ZZ Top, he has sadly died. He was the one with the beard. You know, I know that doesn't narrow it down, but he was 72, so, you know, certainly not an old man by any means. He died in his sleep, according to his fellow band members. So we're remembering Dusty Hill, of the long bearded, sunglass and sets and hat wearing ZZ Top, or ZZ Top we technically should call them in Ireland, because we don't, you know, don't say Z. It's anyway, ZZ Top. The text is open, by the way, 51551. That's a good place to start with ZZ Top. We're open for business. Good morning. Skimme All Your Lovin' from 1983, would you believe? ZZ Top, so remembering Dusty Hill. And they're loving Dusty Hill on the text this morning. 51551. Dusty Hill and Frank Beard once masqueraded as British rock act The Zombies. The Zombies are already broken up by the time they notched their final big hit, 1969's Time of the Season. That's how two future ZZ Top co-founders ended up masquerading as the British rock band for a cash-in tour, says Kevin in Westport. And this is the only one in ZZ Top without a beard is the drummer. His name is Frank Beard. They were also one of the longest bands with the same lineup from 1969, says Philly. I think Dusty Hill joined in 1970, I read this morning. We're going very deep into ZZ Top. I was bawling. This is a lovely message. I was bawling listening to Aron Levine and listening to the two lads describing their gold medal win this morning. Flair, fair play to you. It has really given us all a lift. You're right. I live in Germany. I haven't been home since 2019. So stories like these make you proud to be Irish. Good luck. Greetings from the Saarland, says Catherine there. That's a lovely message from abroad. And Catherine, of course, you can boast now because we beat the Germans into silver on that famous race. And actually, just mentioning those early silver medals or those early medals that we got. This is a great table quiz question now. Who got the first Olympic medal for Ireland after independence? And the answer is Jack B. Yeats, because they used to do the art. Art was a category in the Olympic Games in the 1920s. And it was 1924 he won for the Liffey Swim, which is now in the National Gallery. And the cultural significance of the Liffey Swim is underlined by Jack B. Yeats. He captured the 1923 race and went on to win the first Olympic medal for the Free State. It was silver. And yeah, it's there. Also, Oliver St. John Gogarty also won a gold, not a, he won a silver medal at a later Olympics. The same one, actually, 1924, was in Paris. So there you go. There's your trivia and your table quiz question of the day. Welcome back. It's Oliver Callan here in for Ryan this week. Great stuff on the Olympics. Dr. Pat O'Callaghan won two gold at both the 1928 and 1932 Olympics. He lived and practiced in Clonmel and Tip. Bob Tisdale, who was with O'Callaghan in LA, also won gold in running, says Ed Burke there. Somebody says, I used to love sausages with a layer of raspberry jam on top as a kid in the 1970s. So the sweetness, it is pork. The sweetness does go with pork, which is very, very nice. Further to the point about the transplant birthday today, please call out to the crew in Estella's Pharma in Killorglin, who are one of Ireland's stars of the pandemic. The staff kept the production lines going, producing drugs for the people all over the world who've had to take daily anti-rejection drugs following transplant. Not a dose missed, not a single one. Of course, being in West Kerry, they had God on their side, says Paddy. And on that, Mark, we were talking about, someone said the Swiss government was going to move its operations to West Kerry. We're told, no, it's West Cork. So don't be claiming Cork's achievements here. The Swiss government bought Skibbereen's Lisard estate in 1962 and under the direction of retired spy colonel Albert Bachmann planned to move their gold stash to Cork for greater safety. The story that goes that he had a pint too many in one of the local bars and then it was no longer a secret. So the plan was scrapped, says Fergal O'Caneda, who's in West Kerry there. And someone else saying, yes, Lizard House, I think it is, in County Cork, bought indirectly by the Swiss government to have a safe place in the event of the invasion and so on. We're still talking about sausages here. Actually, no, back to the bunker and staying safe from catastrophe. During the Falklands War back in the 80s, emerged one family had moved there because it was considered to be the safest place in the world from nuclear fallout. And then the Falklands War happened. So the irony stuck in their mind. And Anne, by the sounds of it, is still laughing at them. Someone is saying, with your knowledge of accents, speech mannerisms, do you know where that Monaghan expression, so I did, so we were, comes from? It's delightful, so it is, says John. I think it's kind of near, it's a northeast thing, round Dundalk, so it is. They'd be talking about that all the way, so they would. And we also finish sentences with hey, well, wait till I tell you hey, and all that sort of stuff. But don't forget, Stephen Larmer, you can hear there's a bit of northern creeping in there. North Monaghan is a totally different thing altogether. But anyway, we won't go on. Oh yeah, sausages. I watched sausages being made in Damascus in the 70s and the butcher's ash fell from the fag into the mixture, and he carries on. Okay, great. So, you know, things have moved on substantially. And as Stephen Larmer was saying there, you have to, there's loads of health and safety and we have the best of the best in Ireland. So the Kinder Bueno sausages, last of the Kinder Bueno sausages there now. We'll take some Irish music now for the mood that's in the country today with gold and everything. This is Inhaler. It Won't Always Be Like This was called, that's the track there by Inhaler, and also their album. And Marion in County Clare has texted us on 51551 saying, hi Oliver, doesn't he sound just like his dad? Yes, he does. And there's even more 80s Bono sounds in other tracks on a very, very good, excellent debut album. And they're doing shows and all the rest of it. We wish them well. And they're good lads. And they're not afraid to say stuff, going by the latest issue of Hot Press magazine, where there's a very good interview. It's worth checking out.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
On returning to education, to your text, this is a good one here. Celebrated my 70th during first year as an undergraduate, going on to study history, sociology and politics at NUIG. That's Galway. No children, though, so not as difficult for Claire Cullen there, who we're talking to. Adopted a greyhound. She's a great companion. I was lucky to have had most of the previous year on campus doing the Access course. Please give your guest my best wishes. He's very wise not to stay with the life and economics. It's rightly called the dismal science, says Geraldine in County Clare. And also Paul is there saying returning to education as a mature student is an incredible experience, and he's done extremely well for himself there. We enjoyed our chat with Claire Cullen so much that I ate up all the time, so we're going to have to take another break. And I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today. So go forth and enjoy your Kinder Bueno sausages, your Selling Sunset romances, and whatever you're into today. And enjoy celebrating with Team Ireland, with more to come, we hope. It's just gone 10 o'clock. Claire Byrne is next. We'll chat to you again tomorrow, Friday.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.